That's the way to do it. But I'm not about to be bothering you, so don't get nervous. But there's no, don't this foolish stuff. The Holy Ghost doing this and the Spirit doing that and God doing that and making something holy that's just as human and just as profane and just as low as any other monkey or any other human ever walked, then try to make it holy. And they build movements on it. It really is discouraging. Here we are, the few of us, but at least we do feel like we get to know each other to some degree. And I got something to tell you. There are going to be lesser of us, because I'll do it. One day you get me fixed, and if you don't give me any peace here, I'll take the little ones here that will, older and younger, and in between, and we'll go someplace and we'll put as high electric fence around us as possible, and whatever else we need to deter anybody from coming in on us. Because I don't want a mass movement of people that can't know themselves, because eventually the movements don't last. We may be small, but we'll last if we'll build on principle. We'll be able to survive. Won't be such a mess as I sit over there and just grieve hearing them talk about the property, what they're going to do with the property, because there's not enough people for the property to go around and going to have to get the money from the property, and they should get the money from the property back in the peace mission. Think of all those millions of people. Now they haven't got 300 because they didn't know which way the wind was blowing. No one really knew anything, didn't know where it was at. So now they went after the flesh. Thank you. They went after the flesh, and now they've not got enough people to keep the buildings. So for a while it may have looked like a mess, but now it's a mess. We may look like a mess, but we can be a mass if we'll build on right. If you get to know me and get to know my character, you'll stand whether I'm in the body or out of the body. What I'm doing, you'll stand on. And more than that, you might come and do what I'm doing. I might be able to teach you how to be God, and I can send you over someplace else. You'd be God over that territory. If you'd ever grow up, I'd send you out and make you God. I'd say, I'm God in California, you're God in Nevada. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm saying. I can create you in my own image and likeness if you'd let me. I can't give you my gifts, my power, but I could make it look like it. I could send you out in my name. But you got to grow up. Last time I mentioned that, why the people come up here, clowns. Clowns want me to send them out. Clowns didn't have any love for anybody. Like that silly woman here last Wednesday night stood up here and said she'd like me. She had a gift like me. Before she got through, she'd lost something, couldn't find it. Lost her camera, couldn't find it. That night and fell out on the floor because her camera was lost. Fell out there on the floor, bemoaning her state. She was like me. So get on with the business of character control. Get to the place where you can control your appetites. You really don't know. Some of you don't know what this is. You've never had an appetite. You've got to have it, then control it. Control your drives. Control what you want to do. Control all those things that pull on you to such a degree that you can control all of the pressures that come to you. That you can turn them down at least and keep your course. That you won't lose your course. That you've got control over everything that influences you. You've got to be in that position so that something can't get you off. Now, until you do, and stop playing these games, I'm not going to deal with people trying to put up a sexual image or trying to move from one flower to another and then say, well, I'm homosexual and think that takes care of it. That's what a lot of this has been. You say, I'm homosexual tonight, and then out tomorrow we'll be flirting with somebody. Better not be, because if it comes back, boom, this council will deal with it. Get it in control. If I see you can get things in control, I can send you out. I want to send some of you out. We could reproduce this thing. We could extend this thing. I could trust you. I'm trying to see how much I can trust you. I've got to get you to know yourself. I wish I were big enough to go to bed with each one of you in a sense of not sex, but just time to talk with you, time to communicate with you, and show you a lot about yourself. Things you don't think you know. Some of you women think you're free of this experience. I could make you realize that you got the same identity problems every other woman's got. I could get you close to it. I could take every man with the driving sex I've got and make you realize how passive you are. If I come on to you might not be the particular body prototype that you like, but when I got through with you, you'd realize you were passive. You understand what I'm saying? When you get up against utter strength, there's going to be passivity. And I'm the utmost of strength, but I can develop it in you. but not after this image of what we thought the outward appearance. Not by a clothes style or swaggering or the way you handle a car or the way you can, your stances or your affectations with women or brothers or the way you carry a gun or whatever. It's something far different from that. And I beg you to come into this school that I'm teaching. I'm the Godship degree, or the Socialistship degree, and I'm trying to get some people ready to do my work. Now, all of you can do it. Some of you can't sing. We might have to send a singer with you. I've used my voice doing everything, destroyed it. But we could get some character control here that would enable us to really expand this movement till it'd never be able to run out. Now, because nobody knows who the leader is of the Mission East, we got no leader. Father told me in the corner, the mantle's on you. Told me, and I'm sure that Mary must, St. Mary heard him, but she's not going to tell it. So never anything was ever told publicly. I thought today I tested your spirit. Did Father have you doing Social Security? The Peace Mission had you doing Social Security on those children, telling them not to take Social Security. And this kind of stuff. Well, if this could only have been exposed. The things that you had to do behind the scenes, if this could have been brought out. But no lines of authority. Mother wasn't even told she was to be the head of that movement. That's just some assumption. They said, listen to Mother, but she certainly was never told to be God. He never even suggested she'd be God. Said, I lifted you up, and you could fall. I'm not quoting him exactly, and certainly he would know what a fall was because he took some. But today we have no real work of socialistship or Godship degree on the East Coast. And I'm grieved over it. Some say, why are you preoccupied with it over there? That was supposed to be a glowing work. That's on my mind. That's not supposed to go the way it's going. That's terrible the way that's going to go. Dying like flies, no youth to take on the reins. We were meant to get ourselves together so we could extend the work. But it'll never get done because no clear established rules. And there was too much buildup of one personality. To no one could do anything. That's why you've got to get to a place where you can do things. This council has to be trusted. People have been trying to circumvent this council. Say, I won't go to the council. I won't tell the council. Well, yes, you will, because we're going to have other people that have the authority in this group. And if you can't trust one on, then tell me who it is. We'll throw them off. Till you get somebody up here you can trust. Well, true. But I'm saying, let's correct anything tonight you don't like. Let's have a real knockdown drag out and correct anything you don't like so that you can get everything up here straight. If you don't think somebody up here don't belong, you let them know what's the matter and we'll try to correct it. I'm going to say one thing right off the bat. They've been reporting to me, I'm honest, that some of you who are on this council leave at 1 o'clock in the morning or midnight, or you leave when you please. You are not so privileged. If you're on that council, you are to stay all night long. You leave when everybody else leaves. That applied to you and Grace Stone. That's who I was told about. That you leave early and she leaves early. You and Karen. That's what I was told. See, we're getting out of this realm, what I was told. Who told me? Who did tell me? I don't know. You told me? No, you didn't tell me. Did you tell me? You didn't tell me, though. What are you trying to do, take the blunt? You didn't tell me. I'll tell the truth. No, I don't think anybody told me. Well, sometimes I don't know whether I've been told or whether I didn't know. You didn't tell me. You can swear on your life you didn't tell me. You hope you dropped dead. You didn't tell me. What did you think? What made you think? You've had such a thought, but you didn't tell me. No. All right. Well, see, now that causes division. Nobody got any privilege to leave this council. If one got to stay all night, we all got to stay all night. And I want you people to be able to take it quickly so that they can get on with their work and not have to prolong things. There's too much, of course, not all the people here in the council, maybe this can be replayed for them. Don't have any unnecessary rhetoric. Get to the point. But if you got disagreement with some member of the council, you stop that meeting right there. Dead. Stop it dead. And say, I want to have a pause, and then you can dismiss whoever you're talking to, another room, and iron out the difficulties. Because I know that sometimes council is going to see things differently. You're not going to think that it's going in the right course. And you have privilege to stop and discuss that. Right, this occurred to me. I know you've had other things to do. Both you workers have had other things to do, but we just try to have this kind of frank discussion. Yes, certainly.
I want to get all the bridges burnt behind me tonight. I've seen the love of this father who sits in front of us so keen, and that I've trampled it like pearls before swine. I'm a homosexual. I've had active homosexual relationships with a man, and I tried to hide it. My father knew about it, and he told me about it. But I kept trying to hide it because I wanted to be this image of a man that I thought was supposed to be an image of.
Now you are. That's straight talk, man. Straight talk.
I'd rather leave this work than jeopardize you. My children look up to you. I've looked up to you. But I've been an ass. I've misused it. I'll take a minor role. I'll help any way I can to see that everything is done the way it's supposed to be. Because I'm not a man yet, I'm trying to be.
But now let's get out of this.
I've seen
this man. You.
Well, all right,
you're
I've tried
mature.
To be a human being.
You're not
a human being yet.
You're mature enough for me to place a gun in your hand tonight, and I wouldn't have 15 minutes ago. So you can have a gun as of tonight.
I saw something tonight that I haven't seen for a long time. I don't know why I'm so thick-headed. And I fooled around with five or six women in this church trying to prove something. And I didn't prove anything. Just how weak I was. So I want to be strong. I saw character last night. And I saw character this afternoon in Jim Bogue. I saw him reflect Father. And I thought I was someplace one time.
I didn't catch
Jim
that
Bogues?
Phrase.
I
didn't catch
said,
that
I thought
phrase.
I was someplace one time. I thought I was evolved. I may have been, but I sure regressed. Because I saw more character in him than I've demonstrated for 6 months. And I appreciate that, Jim.
Thank you.
Glad
to know about it as a public record myself, because it's still consistent with what he showed out there when I didn't even know him. You know, that other thing.
I just want everyone to know what I am so that I don't have any chances to make any backtracks from this night on.
Well, thank you.
I want to be a friend to you as females and a friend to you as males. And I don't want to play any more games.
God
Father's
knows.
Right.
They need some friends. They need some friends.
I need friends.
We all need
I've
friends.
Alienated myself from you so you couldn't even be a friend of me. Father's found it hard to be a friend of me because of the way I treated him. Well, he hasn't found it hard to be a friend of me, but I've just alienated myself so badly. I'm sorry, Father.
Thank
I apologize,
you.
Counsel, because I misrepresented and I didn't tell the truth last night. I think I've told the truth tonight.
I think you have done very, very well.
Thank you, Father.
And I don't suppose that Jim Bogue has a gun, but he ought to have. Does he have one? Does he have one?
I have one.
Is he licensed?
No.
We ought to process him. I mean, a man with that kind of character. I saw the character in you before in his endorsement of you, because he has been with me 20 years, and I trust his judgment in a lot of ways, in spite of his, as he said, regression. And anybody can digress. Digress is probably more fair, much more fair word. Be diverted by one little point, of one little area of unreconciled behavior problem can get you off course. Doesn't blanket, blot out your character, points and strength in other areas, but it certainly can divert your energy. So now that I feel good about that, because I hesitantly said that there would be no gun, but now I can say that there's one. And that applies to all the rest of you. I want to hear more about your knowledge of yourself. Some of you out there not been confronted with all the things you've done. All that have guns, I'll have to have some proof that you really are in alignment with what I'm doing. And understand me and communicate with me and feel like I feel. Because I'm going through this thing with guns right down the line. I've only just proved one here tonight, and it's going to be one by one. Yes.
Father, I want to thank counsel and all of the things that happened in the last day or so. For the first time in the 18 years, which will be 11th of this month, the wife and I have been married, that we have, I believe we felt true honesty with each other this morning. I believe now that we will have a relationship that we'll be able to build upon.
That's
and
wonderful.
I thank you, Father.
That's wonderful. Thank you. You know, I don't like to remember his experience because it brings to light other people's mistakes. People have far redeemed those mistakes since then, but I don't want to ever forget the experience of this man. Some of you never were around when it happened. I went away for a little while for a meeting for a few days, and I had instructed the church officers not to allow any gift to be received of surplus foods. Well, some one way or another, people forgot it or did what they chose through ego, and we got in a mess. They accepted surplus foods. And this brother was one of the trucks. They were driving in the open noonday just like they was doing the right thing, right down through the main town with truckloads of surplus food. Who should see him but the head of the surplus food program? Pulled him over and stopped him. The only ordeal we've ever had in this group, it looked like going to tear us up. Everybody from the local welfare people to the United States Department of Agriculture was on our back within a matter of hours. I want you to hear this because there's a lot of things come into play on this subject. Everybody was on our back. And this man was the only one they caught. And he wouldn't tell on anybody else. And I didn't know him hardly. He and I had never said three words to communicate. He didn't know his father. I never healed him of a fatal disease. He just had to take me purely by faith. He didn't know I didn't send him out there. He didn't know a thing about it. He wasn't the one that violated my instructions. It was one of my officials that told him to go out there, so he thought I told him to go out there. On the contrary, I told him not to go out there, but he's out there. And he never told who was out there. No dirty snakes, that's how little they appreciate honesty, too. They ought to be able to see it. They wanted to railroad him. And he held his ground. He would not tell anybody else. If there was anybody else, he wouldn't tell it. And then out here in the aisle, in the driveway, they wanted to then divide me by saying, well, if you weren't here, and we've established that, you don't know anything about it, if you let him take the brunt of it, it'll be all over. He's the one we're after. I said, no, you take him, you gotta take me. And then Tim Stoner, who was assistant attorney, spoke up and said, you gotta take me. And all those boys looked around at us and thought, they'd never seen anything like this. We're going to have to take one, you're going to have to take them all. And they could tell adamantly in our voices that's exactly what we meant. They're going to have to drag him. In fact, I expect they knew they'd have to drag him away from us if they tried to take him, because we looked very, very determined in our position. And the only thing that saved us there was letter writing. That's one of the reasons I'm bringing this up. Support. We'd sent letters to people who were in the right places. We had voted for people, as I had been told. And if we hadn't voted and supported the right people, it came up, we were ready to be blasted. And those politicians run in interference for us and saved the enemies from hitting us, because we had done nothing wrong. We had a right to take surplus foods, but it was a little technical thing in which we had violated a statute. And they could have sent us up the river. That's why I never would let this, and I don't want no surplus foods now, and get that across. Don't you bring no surplus foods here. Not even a can of it. Because you're not allowed to give those surplus foods to anybody. If they're given to you, they're for you only. You better understand that. Every now and then we got to take something and dump it. We dump it. They bring a can in here, we won't distribute it. Don't you bring anything that says surplus, U.S. surplus foods. You have to use it yourself. It cannot be given to anyone else. But I thought it was indeed wonderful that here people had followed my instructions, and we did have certain people we'd influenced. And when they tried to put the axe on us, we had those people fight all the way to the United States Agriculture Department. They didn't give up easily. The U.S. Agriculture Department came back after him again at his door. He wouldn't talk. Several times they came, he wouldn't talk, he shut the door. I got anything to say to you. They come over to me. I said, it still stands the same way. We've done nothing wrong. If you want him, you got to take me. You got to take the whole church. I never will forget the last time that Agriculture Department man was here. He shook his, scratched his head, and he said, I'm glad somebody else has taken my job. And that's the last I ever saw him. Because he didn't know what to do with us. That's been, 2 years ago? Something like that. So it pays to follow instructions, and it pays, never to be divided. That's a classic example of uniting the front tonight, brother. Bringing in the short ends. Archie did the same thing before he went back to work. Instead of getting on defensive, we attacked him about his defensiveness. He just shut it short. He says, I've seen honesty here like I've never seen before. That was pulling the loose ends in. Everybody's pulling the loose ends in. Now, see, we may look like we're divided at the beginning of the night, and we may seem to be tottering, but the old ship of state right now, 10 of 10, is in damn good shape. Thank you. That's what it takes. Honesty can heal any situation. Love with honesty, but nothing else. Just be honest until you can become loving. But you do have a responsibility to be cordial. I said to Joy, I appreciate that forthrightness with Simon to tell him, but also by saying the same thing should have been said, I could understand maybe if I'd have been in your position, I might have done the same thing. You never know. You can always say that because you don't know what you'd have done if you'd been in his job. You understand what I'm saying? You just don't know for sure what you'd do if you were in Simon's job unless you got Simon's job. You can say, well, if I'd been so-and-so, I'd have done so-and-so. No, you don't know what you'd done if you'd been so-and-so because you've been you-and-so. So you don't know what so-and-so is going to do or what so-and-so had to do. So it's just best to say, I think this is what I think I would have done, but still, I love you. I don't approve what you did, but I love you. And I love the changes you've made and the growths you've demonstrated. And I'm fond of what I see here, the very definite streak of honesty that can be called forth. So let's try honesty, but let's most clearly make this known. That doesn't mean just cut, cut, cut. You say what you feel, but also show a cordiality with it. Or let the person know you care. Let them know some way you care. Some people think all required under this new dispensation is just saying everything comes to your mouth. You understand what I'm saying, please? Get the water around. Hold your hand up and hold it up high if you want water. That won't distract me. Just be sure, though, that you do try to keep peace. And remember this, as I repeat, the best follower will be the one that'll go the furthest for peace. If someone's showing their rear end, then you keep your peace and go the extra mile. You'll be the best follower, right? You go the extra mile. Yes.
This keeps recurring to me, and at this moment I feel very strongly. Last year when we were in Philadelphia and we saw the adulation which had been lavished on leaders who didn't deserve it, one of my companions, a young woman in the temple, said to me, I'm so glad that our prophet hasn't taken that trip. And I said, if he had taken it, I wouldn't be on it. Now, I hope that you know what I mean. Some of us, and I think most of us, love him because of the things that he will do for us on the human level, and the fact that he doesn't let us give him diamond rings and cars nor accept our worship. I just felt moved to say that we do appreciate you. He isn't there. That's how modest he is.
I took the same trip last summer, and in a way, I think the people back there had something over us. They listened and when something was said, when those tapes were played, and I thought Father Divine was a horrible speaker. I thought he was boring. I thought he didn't have anything to say. Out of all due respect for you children, and I respect you because you're here, and anything that brought you here, fine. But I listened, and it was boring to death, but those people sat, and they even watched that tape recorder or whatever it was that was coming from. And when someone who represented the office of that time came, Mother, which I think we all share her thoughts of her, they watched her and they listened to her. When they would stand out there for an hour waiting for her to come out just to watch her, and she wasn't anything to look at. We can't even be quiet. We can't stop from talking to our neighbor. We can't stop from reading a newspaper. We can't stop from writing in address books. We have to go into the bathroom. We have to have somebody walking up and down the aisle. I'm not saying it's the older people, but, you know, bringing us drinks of water. I don't know. In a way, I almost wish that he had been that way, because maybe then we'd listen. And with things... I know, I'm not saying I would be, but I'm saying the respect that I saw there for nothing, we're not getting for everything. And I think we had a lot to learn about the respect that went on back there that we haven't got here. And I, for one, didn't keep it. So I'm as guilty as anybody else.
No, I heard both comments. It's a problem. If you win people, usually, initially, the mass of people are not where Professor Roller would be. To have missed Professor Roller would be a great loss, because she's a thinking person. She follows out of commitment of mind, not guts, but mind. But a great mass of people, even with slightly lesser intellect than Professor Roller, are reached by enthusiasm and the ardor of that kind of, not the worship directed to me, but the ardor of it. A little of it Sunday. It was respect. It wasn't anybody bowing before me, but it caused an enemy to get up and leave. Enemy that would have taken their chances of doing bodily harm. It wasn't connected with the peace mission. We have another enemy here, strange enough, that was interested in doing something, scouting the field. But that overwhelming zeal scared the liver out of him. He took off. There's a black man seated by Sister Mueller right next to her, and he took off.
Yes, but I see that too, and I feel it because you clean shells.
Yeah, right, right. And I think that what one has to know, you worship lively. You don't seem like a dull sort. No one would ever think you were uninspired. What do you do with these intellectuals who come in who think that they pride themselves so much in not being a follower? It's really what they pride themselves, you know, is being rebellious. And they want to be anarchistic, and they pride themselves in this. But we've got to find some leverage which we catch those people before they get in here. I would say people be at the doors and scrutinize a little bit more and screen them. For instance, if we find a Ukiah, this is my statement, ought to be, how many people here are greeters? I don't like to just talk greeters, those who greet people at the door. You get their names and you greet them. I think we're going to have to make a stronger movement, build up a stronger organization to meet everyone, because we run into real trouble here Sunday. We had a priest, he was here for no good, and I got him out of here, but it was rough because he was already in. Let's take it automatic. If you see a Ukiah, Well, I don't think you can take any unlesses. You should take their address and say, oh, I will be so glad to invite you to a meeting later. This happens to be our confessional meeting. Everyone is. It's the meeting where we have catharsis. And we're home very rare, which is true. So, the minute they say they're from Ukiah, because I've had a certain instruction about that, say, now, if give me your name and address and phone number, and I'll personally, and I mean hold it, see this done that way. See, it's gotten right in right there. There's no one to lose that address. Christine, I'm looking at you. I'm counting on you to implement this. I see how many other greeters? Laura. Say, I'll personally invite you when we have a meeting, regular public meeting. I would say that, but you've got to give them more reasons for this. Say that in these confessional meetings, sometimes people don't feel at ease unless they know everybody. Most important is to get these intellectuals that hit us from Ukiah. Because we've had trouble all week long. Karen certainly hasn't relegated any work there. She's done everything I've told her to do. But I've had to I had a certain set of wisdom for her to follow explicitly with the Roman Catholic priest who thought he was the Greek priest who thought he was a prophet, a psychologist, and so forth and so on. If you run into these psychologists, some of you got to get some things in your head. We've got to have a little schooling tonight. We need some briefing. We can't put it in writing. Maybe this ought to go around by telephone. There's some things you need to know when you're dealing with psychiatrists. So, oh, yes. We've been praised very highly by one of the heads of the hospitals here. We were. Don't give the man's name, though. It's Van Dusen. But don't give it, because you might cause some pressure and he might back down under pressure. our Dr. Perkins, the one that saw the miracles of the cripples walk and the cancers pass, and he said it for real. We got his letter. So we've got the head of a state hospital, psychiatrist, doctor, who has said that this is the most honest and humanistic. I mean, you mentioned that too to psychologists. They're not so much interested in the miracles as they are what Professor Roller's saying, the character. You tell about what the guy, what I'm doing, and I will. I work, I clean, I do every other thing that any human being should be that's dedicated to help their fellow man. But then you project that we've got a doctor who's the head of a hospital in Los Angeles. That's safe enough. I don't want to put him under pressure either because it could get him some trouble with the American Medical Association. But it's Dr. Perkins, head of a big hospital there, who said these miracles are undeniably real. He sat there service after service and watched them. Looked at the growths, saw the cripples, and he said they're undeniably real. He's a medical doctor and a psychiatrist. And if you quote this, here's the reason you quote this. Because these devils want to go out and thinking they're a psychologist, they'll give us some trouble. But if they know other psychologists and psychiatrists have praised us, and other doctors have praised us, then they don't want to look like they're a fool, you see. You see what I'm saying? I don't care who comes in. If it's an engineer, we've had engineers' praises. Politicians, we've had politician praises. Law enforcement people, and then always drop with everybody. We've had wonderful letters of praise from law enforcement people all over this United States, particularly in the Bay Area and local. Because people come in here, this Greek bunch was here because, I don't know what's up with these people. Liz Foreman, are you here? She working? What's with these people anyway that you work with? Do they talk to the church? Do they talk to the church to you? Talk against the church to you? They said you invited them. Did you invite them? They said again today, this week, that you invited them.
Did you get the message that they told me they were coming, and they were going to bring the psychologist. And, you know, I said...
The thing you should have done at that very juncture is for us to get these instructions so clearly. Say, well, we're not having a meeting. Say, I'm sorry, there's no meeting open to the public. It's just a business meeting in catharsis. So there's no way. You should have stopped it right there, rather than have this embarrassment of having to have them move. Because if they had heard some of the words that I use, socialism and so forth, they could have been in real trouble. That Greek, I have a strongest feeling that this Greek outfit is connected so much with not only the Orthodox Greek Church, but it's connected with the infamous situation over in Greece. I have the strongest feeling that they are connected with fascist right-wing elements.
Now that...
We sure don't need to, we don't need that kind of, and the Greek government, to you that don't know it, and that's why you need to be politicized or informed, you need to watch the news. The Greek government's the most racist government, the most dictatorial, tyrannical government today. And though when you get somebody Greek preaching, but in the first place, you get any preacher coming through there. I was so disheartened with the nation today. It took a TV poll of who was the most trusted in the United States, who the people trusted the most. Doctors first and preachers second. I thought, boy, the people of America are really bad off. Trusting preacher second. I'd trust a preacher last. I'm not a preacher. I don't fit that role. Because the best of them, even as we've heard here discussed in the movement in the East, you can't trust. One thing I thought Purity said to me today that was very good, I thought that's wise. If I taught her that, that's fine. She said, Father's taught me one thing, to listen to anything, believe what I hear. Well, that's good. If it's taught you that, it's taught you to keep your ears and eyes open